a watch, O Lord, over. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works of men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent word, which shall not break my head. Yet my prayer also shall be in their eyes. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words for theirs. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood among the earth. But my eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid before me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withhold escape. Dear Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. Thank you for getting us here this morning. Coming down the road and looking at something and almost got into an accident, but thank the Lord for watching over us. So much times we just take it for granted. People are having accidents and different things happening. We just give you thanks, Jesus. Pray that you bless the people as they come this morning and be with our pastor, dear Lord God, as he prepares to come. And we just again thank you for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Rejoice.
lap offering back to him. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Get this for another week. So much to be thankful. get ready for the offering.
Holy Spirit, rain on us. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Heal us with your power. Saturate us with your love. Holy Spirit, rain on us.
Dear Heavenly Father, once more we come before you, thanking you for another day you've given us. Pray you bless the people as they come, dear Lord God. Pray you bless this offering, dear Lord, as they just give from their hearts. Thank you for all you do for us, and we just can just give you back this little. We're so thankful for you watching over us daily, dear Lord God, and keeping us. Be with those who are unable to be here today. And again, we just want to give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rain on us. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, rain on us. Holy Spirit, please rain on us. Fill us with your power. Saturate us with your love. Holy Spirit, rain on us. We know you are the light that will always find us here. You are near. Oh, yes. You are near. Yes, you are. Father, we know.
Man, my God. Just look back in your life so many times, you know that he was right there. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. Beautiful. My God, my God. Sister Tina. Thank you. It's moving me. Take control. please come. Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. Let's sing it one more time. I feel the pull. Oh, I hear the call. And God's Spirit is moving me to give my all. Let's worship him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, before you have your seats, just say, God bless you to you, brother, to your sister. God bless you. Good to have you. Service today. Amen. Amen. My. God bless you. You can have your seats there. Amen. We certainly appreciate the presence of the Lord. The specials that went forth, the worship. Song leading, amen. Thank you all so much, Brother Wisdom and Sister Rebecca and Sister Tina. Heard singing songs, so we really, really appreciate that. Heard. Heard Brother Robert say he's here. Let's have church. Man, I believe that, brother. We might as well just have church. That's what we come for. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's exactly what we come for. So I'm trusting that God will just continue on and amen the service. Just so good to see Jerry there, and he's brought two friends. Now, one of them I've seen before. I know he's been here, but the other young man, God bless you, is good to have you, amen, with us on today. Amen. It looked like Ashley and Whitney got two more friends. Amen. It has come to be with us today, and we thank God for them. We had a wonderful time on Friday night. Amen. Our youth service, amen, that was conducted, and Brother Justin Smiley spoke to our hearts, and he did an excellent job, amen, just ministering the Word of God, and it was just so good to see how things are just kind of flowing there. One thing that I want to be purposeful about, amen, there are things that need to be consistent in people's lives, especially for young people, and the youth service is something that's been very consistent for really the past 2 years, and we look to carry that forward, amen, into next year, and we certainly want to open up and have it at other churches, but the main thing is that we must have a youth service. And if we don't have it at anywhere else, we can always have it here at Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. So that's the one thing I want to instill, that we're going to be consistent with it. It's not going to be, you know, once a year or once a special meeting. So we're going to be consistent. And I think if we're consistent, then that gives some people some things to look forward to. And my niece came to church on Friday night. I was just so blessed to see her, my niece Victoria. And she was here just, you know, and she brought two friends, and they said they really enjoyed it. They want to come back.
And we got to keep it going just for people, you know, like that. And I mean, she was just saying how she really enjoyed it, and I'm grateful. So we picked up some other young people and brought them on Friday night too. And I mean, we just want, just like, you know, in high school they got the football game, they're consistent. Friday night gonna be a game. Everybody know what's getting ready to happen, right? And then when football season over, it's basketball season. They just consistent year after year. And let me tell you something. I when I was in school, I had to fight. You know, am I going to go to the game or am I going to go to church? Now, you know what? You know why the devil's still using that same thing on Friday night? Because he gives the same test to the young people today. Now, what you going to do? You going to go to the game or you going to go to church? And some of us say, well, football season going to be over with in about 3 or 4 weeks. So after football season, then I give God his time. No. God want to be first. Amen. Your team losing anyway, so. Right? Amen. You ain't looking at nothing. Come on out and get something from God. Amen. You got to worry about that when you get to heaven. But these are just tactics that the devil used to try to get our attention. And what we want to try to do is give the young people something else to look forward to, amen, on Friday night. So we just appreciate, amen, what happened here on this Friday. And if the Lord would allow, we want to do more, amen, as we go forward in the new year. Amen. So I got just a couple announcements. I'll let you all be delivered from your duties. Thank y'all so much. We appreciate you all. Amen. Just so faithful in your service. And while I'm thinking about it, I took the garbage can and put it back over here in the sister's area from Friday night. And while I was there, just putting a trash bag, amen, in the can, I saw a little list of, everyone that was signed up to keep the sister's areas clean. And I want to thank all the sisters, amen, that are on that list. And don't mind helping out when it's your week. You just step in and do what you have to do. So God richly bless you. We really, really, amen, appreciate your faithfulness. And when you think nobody is looking, God is always looking, amen, and he sees exactly what you're doing. Sometimes it's just little things, amen, that you can do that'll get a blessing, amen. You have no idea what God might give you, amen, for just your faithfulness. And so we just want to say thank you. Every name on the list, thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. This Wednesday, amen. Actually, there won't be any service Wednesday night, and it won't be a service Friday night this week. And I was so sad. My niece said, okay, I'm going to be back next Friday. I say, dear, we not going to have service next Friday. She, oh, I say, man, I felt so bad having to tell her that. But, you know, this week, I usually try to give for families to spend time with one another. We want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving beforehand. And, you know, and I try to give this week off so people can spend their time with their families. So we'll be, I mean, today we're here, and then we'll be back on next Sunday. But no service on Wednesday, no service on Friday. And the other thing, I have a, how would I call this? You have good problems and you have bad problems. I have a good problem, a really good issue. These young people that's been coming to church, they actually desire to come to Sunday school as well. And which means they need a ride. And anybody that's interested in volunteering to pick up some of the young people to bring them to Sunday school, please let me know. And we'll make sure that they get here to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. We're looking for, I was just talking in the van when I was taking them home on Friday night after the service. I was taking them home, and we just got into some really, really good discussion talking about what happened in the Garden of Eden. And they asked me questions about why women can't preach, and I'm okay, let's talk, and we just had some really, really good discussion. It just shows that there is a hunger, and a thirst for truth, and we want to get them in as much of the atmosphere as possible. So those that are able to help us, amen. Sister Rolanda, she'd be so faithful doing it as much as she can, but she's just one person. And the way that things are going, they're going to take over the whole school. Amen. They're going to take over the whole school. So we just thank God. So anybody that would be interested in just helping us out, please see me and just let me know, and we'll let you know, when everything, we can get that started. So praise the Lord. But so this week, Wednesday and Friday, no service. Amen. Don't forget that. We'll be back on our regular routine starting the next week. We want to also wish Sister Cobb a happy birthday. Her birthday is going to be Wednesday. Amen. So we wish her a happy birthday. Thank God for giving her another year. Amen. So we just appreciate the Lord. Also, even though we may not be having services, Brother Wesco is having services at his church. And we posted the information on the board. There'll be some services there. So if you desire to go and be in fellowship, please feel free to do so. There'll be some services, I think, starting on next Friday and going through to Sunday evening. But the information is on the board, so please keep that in mind. This afternoon, we'll be going to Pinnacle Palms today, and that's at 5:30 this afternoon. So please keep those services in prayer. All right, couple... see, prayer request. Before I go there, let me just read this card. It says, with gratitude, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Amen. It's Colossians 3, verse 12 and 14. It says, to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle Family, the time you've given, the hearts you've touched, the lives you've blessed, these are true gifts from God. Thanks. Thank you for sharing his love. Amen. It says, we just do not have the words to express our thanks for your expressions of love during the recent passing of our beloved mother, grandmother, Mother Caritha Durr-Burrs. May God restore everything you put out, and may his blessings be upon you and yours, brother and sister Roosevelt Burrs. Amen. So they just offer their thanks to everyone. And amen. I also echo that. We looked around at the services there, at the service and after the service, and you know, just during and after, just seeing Spirit and Truth in the congregation just meant so much. And you know, seeing Spirit and Truth serving at the tables and in the kitchen, and you know, it just really meant a lot. And we just really thank everybody in the church for all that they did. Amen. Just to support our family and your prayers that went up, we really, really appreciate, amen, that for our family during this season. Amen. I got a couple prayer requests that I want to make mention of. Amen. Sister Brown asks prayer. She says, please pray for Eric. This is our grandson. He's in the hospital with high CK levels. And he has stress on the kidneys. Amen. So we want to remember her grandson in prayer. Amen. This morning. Also, we this week has been a tremendous attack from the enemy. So many families going through different things. Amen. But yet, through it all, victory. I see victory on the faces of the people. And we're grateful for that. Praise the Lord. Early this week, I got a telephone call. Amen. Brother Mike had been in an accident, and the car was totaled, but thank God Brother Mike is still here. We certainly appreciate the Lord for watching over him. After I got a call from Brother Mike, then I got a call one night, Brother Felix, say, brother, I'm in the hospital. And I say, what? He say, yeah. He said they left church last Sunday, and he was just in so much pain. He didn't know what was going on, so he checked himself in the hospital, and when he went in, they said that he had a problem with his gallbladder, so they had to do surgery immediately, and so he's recuperating, amen, and so keep Brother Felix in prayer. And then we got here Wednesday night, and Sister Pemberton heard that she had to have a little outpatient surgery there, and you know, so, but we thank God that she made it through that. You know, so just so many going through, you know, just the devil fighting. He's busy. That's his job. But our job is to keep claiming the victory. Amen. So praise the Lord. So Brother Robles put in a prayer request. He says, please pray for Brother Felix. He says that he is in pain and that God will heal him. So he also says pray for Sister Robles, Sister Maritza. She is returning on Monday. Pray that she'll have a safe return. She went up to New York, New Jersey area. So let's pray. We'll pray for Sister Robles that her return will be safe. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's all I need to announce. Oh, the other big thing, it is big. The West Coast, Brother Caleb, amen. Some of you all saw, he sent out a text to a few others, but on yesterday, the cat that's been so precious to their home, you know, they had to put the cat down and, you know, just pray for them. Sometimes the animals certainly become part of our families. Amen. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. The good thing about this, the prophet taught us that everything we loved and everything that ever loved us, we'll see on the other side. Now, you say, you're going to see your cat? I sure am. I'm going to see my cat, my dog, everything that I love, I'm going to see on the other side. And if you don't think God loved cats, amen, why do you think he sent two animals two by two into the ark? Right, God loved them. He made them. He created them, right? So I believe everything that we loved, everything that ever loved us, we'll see on the other side. So we trust God for that. Amen. So praise the Lord. Tell you what, I will. We'll have a word of prayer over these requests. We will read, amen, a scripture. That's what we'll do first. We'll read the scripture, then I'll pray over these requests along with praying over the word of God. So good to see everybody in church today. Amen. It's so good to see everybody in church. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read a very familiar passage of scripture out of the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Amen. Verse 12 there. Thank you, Jesus. And as we read God's word, we just requested everybody stand that can stand. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll start at verse 12. Says this, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. As we just take these requests before the throne of God, as well as, amen, the message today. Father, we are thankful that we can come to you, that you are a God that is in control of every one of our situations. There's nothing that catches you off guard by surprise. And, Lord, just been a tremendous week for the saints, so many that, and you know, we all have tests and trials. We realize that. I forgot to mention, I heard that Brother Robert experienced a little burn there, and God had to go to the hospital, but we thank you that you brought him out of that. And, Lord, there's so many that was under attack here this week, but, Lord, they're in church, they're giving you praise, and they're giving you honor, not even thinking about what the devil has done, but they think about all that you have done. So, God, we just praise you and we bless you and we thank you for each and every one. God, these requests that have come for prayer for Sister Brown's grandson, we pray that you would touch him in his body. We've seen you do it before. We know that you're able to do it again. So those kidneys, God, that are just giving them some trouble, God, we pray that you would touch them, that you would just make them completely whole, God. And we just ask that even through this, you'd draw him closer to you. And Father, we also pray, amen, for our brother Felix, who's just going through a little pain. But God, we ask that you would just undergird him, amen, as he's gone through this surgery, undergird him and keep him, Lord God, as our prayer. Strengthen him. Through this particular trial. I pray that you watch over our precious sister, Maritza. She prepares to come back home on tomorrow. Give her traveling mercies and just let her arrive back safely. God, and we just pray for the remainder of this service as we prepare to take the word of God. We've read scripture, but now, Lord, we ask that you would help us apply what we read to our lives. Bless every ear that will hear. Bless every heart that will receive, and just ask God that you just get all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God richly bless you. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just use for our title. Creating a spiritual hotspot. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. I was just kind of talking to some of the young people on Friday night, and I was telling them I got a desire to go back to the book of Genesis just at the beginning, you know, just start kind of coming from the beginning, in the beginning, you know, just taking a little series on that. And I plan to do that here soon as the Lord would release us. I think it's a good time to even do it at the beginning of the year because, you know, it's the beginning of the year. But we might get started before that time. But I want to, we've been at Pinnacle Palms teaching on the book of Genesis, and we got into the serpent seed and, you know, and some of those things. And some of the scriptures that the Lord just kind of brought to our attention as we've been taking this journey with them, I thought would be very, I had never preached it actually in church, so I thought it'd be good to kind of bring some of those scriptures here, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. So we're going to get started on that in a little bit. You got to keep coming to church to know when. Amen. But we're going to start talking about what really happened in the Garden of Eden, you know, and all of that. We're gonna really get in there and just get a little, you know, dose of truth. Amen. So, you know, we just pray that it'll be a blessing, amen, to the church as we just begin to go through that. But here today, we want to just kind of talk about creating a spiritual hotspot. We mentioned this on last week. I kind of let a little bit out of the bag, you know, when I was saying how, you know, we're living in a day and a time where hotspots are extremely important. Talking from a technological point of view, amen, a hotspot is very important, and I'm one. I'll be the first to say, man, I look for them. We were up over in Trinidad just recently, and all my flights was all messed up, and it's like I needed to call people, and with the phone that I have, if I do Wi-Fi calling, it don't cost me anything. But when I call on my dime, right, it costs a world, you know. And so, I mean, when I'm in a situation like that, I'm looking for a hotspot. I'm like, no, turn off the T-Mobile signal. Give me Wi-Fi, you know. I got to have a Wi-Fi signal because otherwise it's gonna be some trouble. And all the telephone calls that I had to make, it was really, really something. I was just a little disappointed being there in the airport and couldn't get Wi-Fi. You know, like every airport ought to have Wi-Fi. So when you go through an experience like that where there's no Wi-Fi in certain locations, well, you begin to kind of tell other people, avoid that location, right? Don't go there because there's no Wi-Fi, right? There's no hotspot. Unfortunately, we have been society has driven us to this place, you know. I mean, there are actually cities that, amen, right now they're discussing, and some of them already have it, where they're trying to make the whole city Wi-Fi. Right? Now, why would they do that? Right? Why would they want to make the whole city Wi-Fi? Right? Well, it's real easy. Because if you knew that the city was Wi-Fi, you're probably going to want to buy a house in that city. And guess what? They're going to get your tax money. Right? So, there's a reason we offer Wi-Fi. Come on. It's a reason why McDonald's offers Wi-Fi. Free Wi-Fi. Right? It's a reason why, you go to the coffee shop, Starbucks, and they got free Wi-Fi because you're just going to drink up that coffee. Huh? I mean, they're going to keep feeding you more and more coffee. You just sit right there, enjoy the Wi-Fi. And by the time you keep drinking all that coffee, you're going to be done paid they bill on the Wi-Fi. Come on, somebody. Y'all ought to talk to me a little bit this morning. Amen. But Wi-Fi, you look for that W-I-F-I. You look for that signal. If it ain't got that signal, you leaving. If the hotel ain't got it, you leaving the hotel. Huh? Amen. You look for the restaurant to have it. Everywhere you go, you plugged in trying to find a hot spot. And then you get to the spot like me where, you know what? I don't need their hot spot. I can create my own hot spot. Come on now, somebody. I'm talking and I'm saying something. See, and it's a thing. I don't even know. Just forget about it. But we got to be able to create our own atmospheres, right? Because, a hotspot is an area where everybody's attracted to. And what we're talking about this morning is creating a spiritual hotspot, creating a spiritual atmosphere where everybody will want to be attracted to that. Huh? We want the church to be a place where people want to come to church. Huh? Look, let me just put it this way. You don't have to beg people to go to the hot spot. Huh? Amen. You ain't got to plead with people to get to the hot spot. They want to be there. And if we can get the church into an atmosphere where this is a spiritual hot spot, people will want to be here. I ain't got to pay them to come. Right? I mean, they would want to be here. So, and I believe that, you know, there's things that we can do to try to create this atmosphere, this spiritual hot spot. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, let's look at a couple things here. I got a few things that I want to read to you. And let's see here. Thank you, Jesus. Let's start with this message, A Hidden Life in Christ. A hidden life in Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you learn how to create your own atmosphere, people want to be around you. You become a hot spot. Right? Amen. Amen. People want to be around you. People, you know, and if your life being changed by the gospel, people want to go to the church that you're going to. Huh? Amen. You become a hot spot. All right. You draw everybody. Glory to God. If people are running from you, something wrong with you. Huh? Amen. Oh, God. If they're running, if they're trying to get away from you, there's something wrong somewhere. Amen. Come on now, church. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit this morning. Amen. I want to be a spiritual hot spot. Amen. Things happen at the hot spot. All right, listen here. A hidden life in Christ, the prophet says, and believing after seeing America with this great opportunities it's had for revival, yet it continually gets worse. So it alarms me. Amen. And we ought to be honest with ourselves. So much truth has been given to people, but yet they keep getting worse and worse. And that should not be the case. People should get better. And let me tell you something. When you come to church, you either leave one or two ways. You either leave better or you leave worse. Listen to this. He says, it continually gets worse, so it alarms me. This is my land. And if I can put it this way, this is our church. All right? And says, I was born here, and I love it. And I can say, you know, I've had tremendous experiences here, and I love it. I like my church. Amen. Amen. Says, and not only I'm wanted to see a great revival, come on, not in a day gone by. I don't want to talk about what God did yesterday. I don't want to talk about what God did 2,000 years ago. Amen. But I want to see a great revival in my day. Hallelujah. I want to see a great revival in my day if we can. Now, listen to what he says. I can't bring that revival, that great revival, and no minister can. But we can put in our part while God brings it, and each one of us has a part to play. So if we want to create this spiritual hotspot, each one of us got to be willing to play the part that God has given us. All right, let me go on to another little thought here in presuming. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to try to go through the scripture and show you where God has always had hot spots. Amen. He's always had hot spots. Hallelujah. Look at this in this message, presuming. It says, I think we've come to that spot. We've come to Kadesh Barnea, where when God's given the issue for the church to call a halt, amen, and back to prayer life. God help us right here. Amen. Amen. Back to prayer life. Amen. Prayer is not something that we should just do on Sunday mornings. Huh? Prayer is not something, amen, that we should just do once a week. That's not prayer. We should consistently be in prayer. Amen. Pray always. You know, that's what the scripture is telling us to do. You know, we should always be in an atmosphere of prayer. Amen. When we're there, then God can lead us and guide us to different people that he might want to bring to the hot spots. Listen, he says back to a prayer life, back to a consecration, back to a spot that we consecrate ourselves away from the things of the world and away from our little petty differences among us and get back to God and brotherly love and humility and back to the power of God again. Now, this is nothing but the truth because Satan got so much out there to try to attract our attention. Huh? Well, I mean, no matter who we are, there's something where, amen, you know, like you say, well, if you got a television, there are programs coming on the television that keep you from spending time with God. Huh? Amen. Then you say, well, I ain't got no television. There are applications on your telephone that keep you from spending time with God. Huh? Amen. We got to get to a spot where we're more consecrated. Come on, somebody. Where we're more concentrated, we're trying to create a spiritual hot spot. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you really weren't a prayer warrior, and I had something that I was going through, most likely I would not come to talk to you about praying for me. Huh? But the person that actually spend time in prayer, and you know they spend time in prayer, the person that won't answer their phone, no matter how many times you call, and by the time you get back in touch with them, what they tell you is that I was in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. That type of person is a hot spot. When you're going through things, that's the person that you want praying for you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Listen, he says this. He says, put away the things of the world and away from our little petty differences among us and get back to God and brotherly love and humility and back to the power of God again. Now, this is what's in my heart. I want to see the power of God manifest itself in the church. Now, I understand something here that is not going to manifest itself if we're not willing to do our part. Amen. God ain't going to do nothing if we ain't going to do nothing. Amen. Listen, he says, back to the power of God again. So we're just presuming that we're running all right because God is blessing. Oh, my God. Look at this. We are presuming that everything is running all right because God is blessing. Yeah, you got a new job. God is blessing. Yes, you got a new car. God is blessing. You presume that everything is running right because God is blessing. But everything may not be running right. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now, somebody. Say, God is blessing. He was blessing Israel probably the same day that they refused to go up there and take the promised land. The same day that they disbelieved the spies, the manna fell just the same that night. But they were all together out of the will of the Lord. They could not win another battle until they came back and made things right with God. Now I think it's time for the church to get back to God again, get back and get started like it should be going so we can continue in our journey. Let me go on. It says, yet they know God was good.
God, he was full of mercy. He had given them mercy. He showed them his glory. How there was even their shoes wasn't wearing out. Their clothes wasn't getting threadbare. And manna was falling from heaven every night. They seen miracles and signs all along of the presence of God with them. Yet they presumed that God had did that. They could go up there and take that mountain. Here it is. If we want spiritual gifts in the church. And this is what I'm talking about when I talk about the hot spot. If we want spiritual gifts in the church, if we want the power of God and the real power of God. Now, I tell you, brother, sister, it's so easy for someone to be deceived on that. Sensations and things. The devil can impersonate nearly any sensation that God's got. See, but you see, our church is not moving the way it should move. We know there is something wrong. See, and we know then that God will not be with us until we get whatever it is straightened out, so it's time to check up. See the things that we should do and what things we should not do, and then get ready and go ahead. It's all right. Now, this is where we're at, church. If we want a spiritual hotspot, we're going to have to do some checking up. We got to do some self-inventory. Amen. We got to kind of look at some things in our life. You got to understand, amen, that your misbehavior, your misconduct, amen, inside a church like this, you can stop God's blessings from flowing through this place. One person off the word of God can stop God from flowing through this church. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Amen. You can stop somebody else from getting healed because of the way that you're living. Y'all don't understand that, but your conduct is very important. You putting away the things of the world is very important. It's just as important as me putting away the things of the world. Nobody want to go to no church where the pastor's saying one thing in the pulpit and then living somewhere else outside the pulpit. Nobody want to attend a church like that. Huh? Can I get an amen? How many of y'all want to go to a church like that? The pastor telling you don't do it, but he doing everything that he's telling you not to do. How many of y'all want to go to a church like that? I see nobody put no hands up. Let me tell you something. The pastor also don't want to come to a church. Huh? The pastor also don't want to come to a church where he's telling, amen, he living one way before the people, but everybody else living a totally different way than what he's telling them. And also what he's showing them in his own life. The pastor don't want to go to that type of church. That kind of church will kill a pastor. Oh, come on, somebody. We're not going to talk here. But that type of church will kill a pastor. If I got to follow the word, you got to follow the word. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the way it became a hot spot is because every mind, every person was in one accord. And when they got in one accord, that place became a hot spot. Lord, if we can get every heart and every mind in one accord here, what is unlimited what God can do in this place. I'm not talking about a God of yesterday. I'm talking about a God of right now. We're trying to create a spiritual hot spot. And I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is just put the sign up there, Wi-Fi available. People will come. Amen. People will come. And you begin to share the testimonies. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People will come. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. All right, let's, I was just kind of thinking here, amen, there's been hot spots all throughout Scripture, and one of them was, you know, and I just love this, I love this particular passage, and we talk about it all the time, but I'm talking about it from an angle today of a hot spot, and, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, he couldn't go to everybody's house. Y'all stay with me. He couldn't go to everybody's house, but, you know, there were some houses that he did go to. And he sat in and he had fellowship, amen, with those people. And one of them, amen, we know the story, very familiar with it, but they found out that Jesus had come to this city again. And when this man found out that Jesus had come to this city again, his friends went and told him, say, Jesus is in town. And the man said, well, you know, if Jesus is in town and he's not at my house, I live in the same city and he's not at my house, then I think it's probably important for me, if I want something to happen, I'm going to have to get out my house and I'm going to have to go to where Jesus is. Now, I want to just kind of break it down this way. Jesus ain't in every church. He's not. I mean, I know some people make it seem like Jesus is there, but Jesus is not in every church. And once you can recognize that he's not in a particular church, then it might be good for you to get up out that church and get to the church where Jesus is. Because that church has just become a hot spot. Oh, my God. But this man said, you know, I know what happened when Jesus comes to town, so let me leave my situation and let me get over here where Jesus is. And that man got up out of he actually didn't get up. He had his friends pick him up and carry him to the service where Jesus was. And as they got him there to carry him to the service, that man said, you know what? It's not good enough for me to just be on the outside. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you can get to some hot spots and you can be right in the range. But, amen, if you're not close enough, amen, you won't be able to get the signal. You might see the signs, but you can't pick up the signal because you ain't got close enough. And some of us hanging on the outside. God wants you to come all the way in. Amen. And get connected to the hot spots. Oh, glory to God. This man said, you know, I'm not happy just being on the outside. I can't get no signal. That's why I can't get no signal. I need to get on the inside some kind of way. You know, I need to get and say, look, man, there ain't enough room to get you inside that place. I'm sorry. You're going to have to deal with whatever you get. And see, when you kind of like on the outside, your signal go in and out and up and down. That's one of the most frustrating things that you could ever have. Here you trying to do something, all of a sudden you just get disconnected. Right. Amen. It's not a good feeling when that happens. If any of y'all ever been talking on the phone, oh, come on, somebody. I might as well just talk a little bit today. You're talking on the phone, and then you walk into just a few steps over. Huh? You'll lose your signal. Everything become, and all you can hear, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You're just moving around. Can you hear me now? And that's what God is saying. Huh? Because you're not in a spot where you can hear from God. And God's saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Huh? God wants you to get into a spot where everything is hot and you got a direct connection to heaven. And when you get there, you better stay there. Hallelujah, church. Glory to God. It's time to get connected to the hot spot. Jesus. Glory to God. Every week people go in and out. They get disconnected, then they reconnect it, then they disconnect. I hate having them type of conversations. When you start going through that, calling somebody on the phone and you disconnect it, you're talking, you drop. You're talking, you drop. All of a sudden you say, just don't call back till you get to a spot where you're pretty, you know you got a good connection. Because we ain't going to get nowhere. We ain't going to get nowhere with this type of relationship. Huh? And God's saying we ain't going nowhere with this kind of relationship. One week I'm in, one week I'm out. This week I got it, that week I don't. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hallelujah. Man, we need to get connected. This man say he was on the outside and said, look, I need a connection. Now, the rest of y'all might be satisfied with this, but I mean, us other people stand outside, they might be okay. Well, we can't get you on the inside. It's too difficult to get in there. The place is crowded. So, well, you know, you can't get me on the inside. I got an idea. And that's the thing that you need to know about a cell signal. Amen. It goes up and out. See, it broadcasts. So this man, so everybody else is absorbing what's on the inside. So let me get up on the top of this. He said, now just take me up to the roof. I'm going to get connected. I need to be a part of this hot spot. Then I just take me up to the roof and say, okay, now what you going to do? Say, I'm just still not good enough. This not good enough. He said, now what I need y'all to do is take the roof off. And then when he tore the roof off, then he said, now let me down into his presence. What he's saying, now tear the roof off and then drop me into the hot spot. And when they lowered this man down into the hot spot, Jesus stopped doing everything he was doing. His whole sermon changed. And he knew what the man needed. The man needed to be raised from that bed that he was laying on. And right there at the hot spot, that man got his deliverance. That man got his healing. That man got his touch. And I want to tell you something. If we could create a spiritual hot spot, people will come in and get their deliverance. People will come in and get their healing. People will come in and get their touch. But we have to create this spiritual hot spot. Oh, my God, my God. There was a time in Scripture in the Old Testament where the people of God had got to a spot where they were doubting. Man, they were complaining. They were just grumblers and complainers, upset with God, upset with Moses that they'd been taken from Egypt. And as they're, you know, Egypt, man, we had houses. We had, you know, we had land. It might have been zero lot line, but at least we had land. Right? You know, and this is the way people think. You know, I mean, we had land, we had houses, we had food, we had all of that. There was meat, there was bread, we had all of that in Egypt. Now, that's the part that the devil show you. But the part that he don't show you is that in Egypt, we had to work every day making bricks, building Pharaoh's city, and if we didn't do something right, we get hit on the back. Now, this man got a big weapon on his back, but he talked about what he used to have in Egypt. Well, I see also you got that big weapon on your back. That's also something you had in Egypt. The devil forget that. I mean, the devil forget to tell you that part. See? And this is what people think, you know, man, when I wasn't serving the Lord, when I wasn't paying my tithes, huh? When I wasn't, I had this and I had that. Seems like now ever since I stopped this, I'm just cursed. Huh? But you don't remember all them loans you had, too. Huh? Hey, amen. You don't remember all them people that you owed, too, when you weren't paying your tithes. Huh? You was doing a lot because you were loaning and borrowing stuff from people. That's how you was able to do it. Now you out of debt, and you can't praise God for that. Huh? Come on, somebody. Amen. A borrower gonna always be slave to a lender. Some of us weren't able to get no house because of the debt that we was in. But God took that the debt from us, and now we're able to be blessed. We forget those things. Just do it the way God say do it. Well, here, we kind of look at the people of God was just kind of complaining there in the book of Numbers. They were complaining about, man, it was this way, it was that way, and they began to complain against Moses. They began to complain against God, so God got upset with them. And when God got upset, the Bible said that he loosed some fiery serpents in their midst. And when these fiery serpents come, I mean, somebody get to complaining, they get bit by a serpent. And the Bible said they would die immediately. They died. As soon as they were bit, they were dead. That was a situation that you really didn't want to be in. I mean, maybe a mother or father seeing their child get bit and they die. Nothing they can do about it. Right? A husband see his wife get bit, she died just like that. Nothing they can do about it. But they finally recognize that, you know, it's because of our complaints against God that these things have been happening. Come on. I just said a lot. It's because of our complaints against God that these things. When you're going to stop complaining against God and start thanking God, you ought to thank God for life. You ought to thank God for health. You ought to thank God for strength. Amen. Start thanking God for some of the basic things. You don't need to thank God for nothing big. Amen. Start with the small things. And if you can be appreciative of the small things, then God can bless you with bigger things. Amen. You need to start having a thank you fit. God, I thank you for my life. Lord, I thank you for my health. Lord, I thank you for my strength. I thank you that I got eyes to see. I got a nose to smell. Thank you, oh God. I got a mouth that I can praise you with. I got feet that I can walk with. Huh? I got hands that I can clap. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. I got gas in my car. Huh? I got a few dollars in the bank. Lord, I thank you. Stop complaining about your job. Thank God for the job. There are many people out there looking for work. Come on, somebody. We got to start thanking God for the little things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you that I have my right mind. You know how many people my age done lost their mind, but God, you keep my mind. Y'all don't, amen. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to get caught up in one of them thank you fits one day so bad, you're going to come in here shouting. Before the music gets started, you're already shouting. And you can just look at, when they're looking at your strength, says, you don't know what the Lord done for me. You have no idea what God has done for me. So don't look at me like that. If God did the same thing for you that he did for me, you'd be shouting just like I'm shouting. Oh, hallelujah, church. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The Israel, the church, amen, Israel was complaining, constantly complaining, and the reason that they got the fire serpents is because of their complaints. That's why God sent the complaints, amen. I mean, sent the serpents because of their complaints. And there come a time where they recognize that they had done wrong. And I want to just kind of drop these things off. It's time for us to recognize that we've done some things wrong. Amen. And when we recognize that we've done things wrong, the first thing that happens is we repent. Because this is what the children of Israel did in Numbers 21. They, oh, we wrong. And what they say is, you know what? We have wronged God. Amen. We've talked against God, and we've talked against you too, Moses. Amen. Both of y'all, we've talked against, and we're wrong. Would you please pray and ask God to take away these fiery serpents? And there they went to Moses, and God gave Moses some inspiration. He said, now, get yourself a brass pole, and then take a serpent and wrap it around that brass pole. And most doctors today have this as a sign, amen, in their office. It's a sign of one of the most notable signs for medicine or the medical field is this brass serpent around the pole, and most of them have no idea where that came from. Oh, my God. And what would happen, they had this brass serpent with, amen, wrapped around this brass pole, and any person, amen, that was bitten by a snake, huh? If they were bitten by a snake, and I want to tell you something this morning, that snake represents sin. And if anybody's been bitten by sin, all they had to do was look to the pole. Amen. Before the pole was created, it was death if you was bitten by a snake. But after the pole was created, if you look to the pole, you can live. Let me tell you something. The pole, amen, became a hot spot. Trust me, if I or my family member would have got bitten by a snake and knowing that all you had to do was look at the pole, I would have been trying to get everybody to look at the pole. And let me tell you something. Everybody knew that that pole existed. They would come from everywhere to try to get to that pole. If they would do that for a pole, what would they do about the presence of God being in a place like this? We're trying to create a spiritual hot spot. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Look at this. Look at this. This is out of the gifts and callings are without repentance. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Oh, my, look at this. Gifts and callings are without repentance. The prophet says this. He says, later on, after the days of the serpent. This is why I say we can just kind of follow this scripture. The hot spots have always been created. But the thing about a hot spot is that the presence of the Lord is what made that hot spot what it was. When we look at it in the Bible, it's the presence of the Lord that made it that. And let me tell you, if we want a spiritual hotspot, it's going to take the presence of the Lord in our midst to make this a hotspot. And if we want the presence of the Lord in our midst, then we have to kind of get rid of some things in our lives. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I love this. You know, we can shout, but it's, oh, that's one to shout about. No, this one to live out. This is one to express. Amen. I want your life to be a hotspot. And if your life become a hot spot, right, and then somebody else's life become a hot spot, my, what will this church become? Amen. You know, all the people that want to be attached to you, they'll come following you. All the people that want to attach to me, they'll come follow me. Everybody will come. This will be some place. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Wi-Fi available. And I just wish I had a, what they call them, Wi-Fi itself is like an acronym. It stands for something else. But I wish I could have gave some other words to that Wi-Fi, some spiritual connotation to it. And that's what's available in the church. All right, come on now. Gifts and callings are without repentance. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. It says, later on, after the days of the serpent, God sent an angel down from heaven and troubled the water on a pool called Bethesda. So now we find another hot spot. Amen. It's right here in the scripture. And ever who stepped in that water first, having faith, was healed of whatsoever disease they had. Huh? Ever who stepped in the water first, having faith, was healed of whatsoever disease they had into the waters. Now, the brass serpent done no healing. It wasn't the brass serpent that we were just talking about, but it was their faith in what God had done by the brass serpent. Amen. Is that right? The water done no healing. It was the angel of God on the water that done the healing. The water couldn't say, see, I'm healing water. See, and that's the thing. I don't want this church to ever feel like, well, we spirit and truth. That's why these things happen, because we spirit and truth. If spirit and truth did not have God in their midst, they would be nothing. Amen. Amen. And I feel the same way. If God didn't help me, amen, with these sermons, the sermons would mean nothing. Huh? If God don't help you with your song mean nothing. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Before I go further, I was just sitting, you can pull that down just for a second. I'll just be honest with myself. It's just the way life is. I have a pretty busy schedule. And, but I think sometimes it's the devil anointing my schedule. All right. And the reason I feel that way is because if Satan can get me where I can't spend time with the Lord, then I can't get the mind of Christ. Right. Amen. I mean, I have to be able to stop and I think I read this Friday. Might have been Wednesday night. There's a quote that I read. Oftentimes what happens is that we spend so much time praying, but we don't have time to listen to God. Huh? That's different. You spend time talking. If you ever been in a conversation with somebody where, here they doing all the talking, they never let you put in a word, that's not a true conversation. Huh? I mean, they dominate. Okay, thank you, bye. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get in a word, please. And this is the way it is with God. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me with this test, Lord. And like I was talking to the young people, sometimes God don't answer our prayer. It depends on what kind of prayer you praying. Amen. Lord, God, I ain't studied last night. But God, I did hear the teacher say a few things. So God, if you can just kind of help me out. And I'm going to tell you, if God answered that prayer, the next time you have a test, you'll be depending on him to do the same thing again. Look, God ain't that type of God. Like my pastor used to say, God, Jimmy, gimme. My name is Jimmy. That's not the type of God we serve. Well, you just always get from him. He wants some stuff from you too. All right. But I was sensing, man, this is Satan, and I got to get to a spot where I'm taking back some of my time. Like, I might have to say no to some telephone calls. Oh, I'm going to just be honest. I might have to say no to some meetings. Because I gotta be able to spend time with God, huh? If I don't get a chance to spend time with God, what Satan gonna do is, oh yeah, you doing it? You doing it in your own? I'll be doing it in my own anointing. I don't want my anointing. I want His anointing. See, in order to get His anointing, I got to pull myself to the side and allow God to speak, and not just me. You got to do the same thing. Some of us, God can give us a direct word for our situation if we just go and spend time with Him. Amen. Oh, my God, I just said a lot right there. If you just go stop and spend time with God, before you call anybody, call Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Before you call anybody, call Jesus. Look, I got something I need to go pray about right now, and I'm going to just sit here and wait on God. You take your Bible and you put to your prayer closet and just sit there, and all of a sudden, God, have you open up the, oh, come on now. God, have you open up the Word of God? Y'all remember the prophet being there, out praying in the woods, and as he's praying, he just got his Bible closed. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I got a Bible like this out there in the woods, I got my Bible like that, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden, the wind come and just open up my Bible. First, I'm like, okay, that was a pretty strong wind. You know, I said, oh, that's pretty good. And open to a particular scripture, and like, all right, that's pretty good. I read that. And I close my Bible up and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I appreciate you. I love you. And all of a sudden, the wind come again, open it up again. And this time, it opened it to the same spot. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to read that again. Say, okay, Lord, thank you for that, God. I appreciate that. And then I go back to close it up again. And I pray, and then all of a sudden, the wind come and open it up a third time to the exact same spot. Nah, I'm going to just stop my talking, and I'm going to start listening. Now, Lord, what is it that you're trying to show me here? And you know what? My cell phone ain't going to bother me. I just had a supernatural encounter with God, and I'm not going to let nothing take this time right now. Lord, you need to tell me what you're trying to tell me, because you sent a wind to open up this Bible. This is a heavy Bible. Now, I mean, and look, a wind open up these pages like this. Something must be in this for me. Yes, now it's time to just listen. Yes, and God will speak to you through his word. Yes, we go around from church to church asking people for a word. You got the word. Amen. You got a word. Amen. 66 books full of words. You got it already. Take it and apply it. That's all God wants you to do. God help us here. All right, let me go on. But I want to create a spiritual hotspot. But if I want that, I got to do some things. There's got to be some pulling aside. There's got to be some laying aside. Come on, brothers. I know the devil challenges. Amen. The heat will get you. Huh? I'm not talking about the hotness out there. I'm talking about the team. The Dolphins will get you. Huh? Amen. Every sports team out there, they'll get you. The devil has anointed that to take our attention. They have a saying, say that that churches have changed their programming and the way that they deliver their sermons, because the average man cannot sit for too long to watch, to listen to a person preach. The average man can't do that. So they say they change it where they have like 8 minutes of preaching, then they change to something else real quick in order to keep his attention. Because what we're geared for is that when people sit down watching TV, you notice they always get a commercial every so many minutes. Right? So and so they can't give their attention devotedly to something because they constantly get commercials. So what we do is create commercials in the church. Watch this video. Then we come back and preach. Watch this video. We come back and preach. I'm telling you the truth. Huh? Oh, my God. I might as well say these things. I mean, you know, if you can sit in front of 3 hours and watch a game but can't come to church and sit for 30 minutes or an hour, something wrong with you. Something is wrong. What you probably need to do is shut off your TV. Amen. That would be a good place for you to start. Get rid of your television. Amen. Same thing on radio. I mean, I don't care how much you just listen, all of a sudden, commercial. Commercial. That's the way they program us. We always looking for commercials. But you get to church, ain't gonna be no commercials. It's just a straight gospel. Amen. 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 Let me just go on and read this. Here we got another issue, another hot spot. Amen. Here, this is out of John 5. We'll read a little bit of it in a little bit. It says, and this gifts and callings are without repentance. Now, the brass serpent done no healing. It was their faith in what God done by the brass serpent. Is that right? The water done no healing. It was the angel of God on the water that done the healing. The water couldn't say, see, I'm healing water. No, it was the angel doing the healing. When the angel left, the water was water. Look, and that's what we, and see, I'm going to tell you, water in the scripture represents people. And see, and so, here we can see ourselves. When the angel leaves, then we're no better than anybody else, right? But as long as he's here, then that's what makes the church a hot spot. And a man is just a man until he's fully submitted to God. And then deity dwells in that man, the Holy Spirit, not the man, but God and the man does the work. So Jesus then, when he came, he was a man born of a virgin birth. His mother was Mary. His father was Jehovah God. You believe that? And then in that body, God dwell. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. And that was God speaking through mortal lips that could raise the dead, still the waters, and so forth. Then when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. One man received a great gift of healing. So the people that laid in his shadow were healed. That was a hot spot, right? And this man walking down the street and people, his shadow, not touch him, just his shadow passed by. They were healed. That's a hot spot. How many people you think going to want to lay in that man's shadow? Oh, my God. How many want to lay in our shadows? God, help us to be hot spots. Listen. Amen. Young people, y'all can be in school and God can use your life in such a way, so yielded to God, that when you pass by somebody healed, people want to be around you. Man, there's something about you. You're giving off something. It's the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. Amen. It's not positive energy. It's the Holy Ghost. And you got so much negative energy around you, you know. Oh, and this person has so much positive energy. It's either God is there or the devil is there. That negative energy is coming from hell. That's all it is. See? You're anointed by some spirits from hell. Get rid of those spirits and you'll be all right. All right, come on. Another one, they've taken handkerchiefs from his body and aprons and laid upon the sick people. And evil spirits went out of people. Not because it was St. Paul. He was a man who lived in flesh like you and I. And he died. He had to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ, just like we do. It wasn't the man that done the healing. It was the Spirit of God in the man that done the healing. Through the faith of the people. Is that right? Well, the same Holy Spirit is with us today. Jesus said, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Let's read this out of John chapter 5. Let's read that particular story. This became a hot spot. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. All right. John chapter 5, verse 1. It says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And this was thousands of people that sat here. And notice they're not just sitting there. These people are here waiting for the moving of the water, waiting for the moving of the water. And the prophet said he's also waiting for the moving of the water, waiting for God to get in the midst of his people and begin to move again. Says, verse 4 says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. Now, we don't know how often this happened. It could have been once a week. It could have been once a month. It could have been once, amen, once a year. See, now this is what I'm talking about. Young people, let's make our youth services, if it's just once a month, make that youth service a hot spot. Huh? Make it a hot spot. All you got to do is just kind of announce it. Youth service. Everybody be flocking there. Huh? You want to make it a hot spot by the things that you do. Create a hot spot here. Yeah. Amen. It says the angel went down at a certain season. And see, when you're sharing testimonies, you know, so-and-so came, man, they got delivered. You dealing with some spirits? Come. I guarantee that prayer and you get delivered if you want to be delivered. All right. An angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Amen. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water. Anybody into a little trouble this morning, feel like your life has got some troubled water that you in, if you jump in after the trouble of the water. Now, that's a good thought right there. You know why? Because oftentimes we go through things in life, and rather than, amen, quickly getting involved in something that God wants to get involved with, we pull back, right? That's the time where we get discouraged. Amen. We get downcast in our hearts. So here, you know, after the little trouble that happened in your life, jump in then. Oh, my God. Listen, amen. Certain seasons and trouble the water, whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. Now, it didn't matter what it was. Huh? Cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, arthritis. It did not matter what this person had. If they would jump in after the trouble in the water, they would be made whole. Oh, my God. Amen. I love to be in a church. Bring whatever condition you got to church. Amen. God is able to heal you of that condition. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This man sat in his condition for 38 years. Now, it's evident that whatever he had would not kill him because he's had it for 38 years, right? Amen. A certain man was there which had an infirmity, amen, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, oh, my God, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? This was a hot spot. Everybody wanted to be here at this particular location because they knew when the angel troubled the water, if they just jumped in, they could be made whole. The first person that got in. Now, I'm going to tell you, the first person got in, made whole, you ain't got to hang around the hot spot. They gone on somewhere sharing their testimony. But other people are hanging right there at that hot spot till they get their touch. Right? So now look at this. It says, verse 7 says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Here's a problem. This man did not answer the question that Jesus asked. Jesus asked, will you be made whole? This man answered something totally different. Huh? Amen. Before we can actually get something to happen, we're going to kind of have to get an alignment here. Amen. This man was not in alignment with what Jesus was trying to do. And I'm trying to get the church in alignment with what God's trying to do. Amen. If we want to create a spiritual hotspot. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So what does he do? And when that happened, just go right back to where he was in his condition. That's not what God wanted. Listen what Jesus said here in verse 8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now, let me tell you something. I just believe, and Brother Trevor brought this out, I believe this man had that bed because he was comfortable with it. He liked being in that situation. He liked that. He liked that condition that he was in. And I'm going to tell you, some of us like where we at. We don't want to go no further than where we are right now. Amen. But God is asking you a question. You want to be made whole? Amen. Do you really want healing in your body? Do you really want me to do something for you? Well, you're going to have to get out of what you're in right now. Amen. You got to break up where you at right now. You got to kind of that condition that you have right now. We got to get rid of that condition. We got to change some things. Right. And sometimes the way he changed things is by sending trouble. All right. Yes. Amen, church. That make us pray sometime when there's trouble. Huh? Oh, my God. Jesus said to him, rise, take up the bed, take up your bed and walk. Verse 9 says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I love this. Just stay with me on this. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. Now that's what that, man, it's the Sabbath and you heal? Now how many think there's something wrong with that statement that the Jews, there's a lot wrong with that statement. It's the Sabbath, and you taking up your bed? Come on now. Look, those are the laws that they had in church, right? The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. pretty much don't share your testimony on the Sabbath day. Huh? He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now, that's why I'm doing it, because he told me to do it. The one that made me whole told me to carry this bed, so I'm going to carry it. And that was that bed, amen, was a sign of what God had done. Huh? This is where I used to be, but now I got my bed. Come on now, I like what Brother Justin was saying. Some of us, God want to deal with us in our dirty place. Huh? And the dirty clothes that you got coming from your dirty place is a sign of what God has done in your life.
Amen, amen.
Oh, my God, my God, my God.
Amen.
Take up thy bed and walk. It says, then verse 12 said, then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? What man? Now, they should have known who it was, right? And verse 13 says, and he that was healed wist not who it was. Oh, ain't that special. This man didn't even know he was talking to Jesus. This man didn't know that he had just experienced Jesus. But he knew I had to take up my bed and walk. Now look at what happens here. It says, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Watch this. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. And I just, my imagination just go with me. My imagination go with me. What was this man doing maybe in the temple at this time? What is that? I mean, is it possible that Satan was trying to trick him and bring him back into some of the things that he was once in? And is that what put him in the condition that he was in the first place? But look at what Jesus, when Jesus called him, when Jesus saw him in the temple, he says, behold, thou art made whole. He says, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Now he got a revelation of who it was. Now I want to go back to that verse 14. Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. Can I just say this? Now you might get somebody come to the hot spot, and God might bring a deliverance to him. God might bring a healing to him. God might do something very special for him. But this is the one thing that they need to know. You don't have to be a Christian to get healed. But you must become a Christian if you want to stay healed. Ooh, Jesus. So somebody might be going through something and you need to come to the hot spot. God is doing things at the hot spot. You need to get there. And when you get there, I guarantee God will do something special. But there's just one thing I need you to know now. After God do what he do, when God heal you of whatever it is that you're going through, you don't have to be a Christian to get healed. But in order to stay healed, you got to serve the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me finish with this thought. Sometimes you can go to a place where they have a hot spot. They say Wi-Fi available. You see the signs and you're just looking for it. But when you go to pull up your Wi-Fi, they're asking for a password. So it could be available and you ain't got the password. It ain't doing you no good. And that's not a good thing, not a good feeling. You see everybody else on. But how come I'm not on? Because you don't have the password. Sometimes they got these really long passwords and special characters, and you got to have a capital here and a lowercase there. And it's very, and if you don't get that password just right, guess what? You're not going to get on. Oh, come on, somebody. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get this thing just right with God, you ain't going to heaven. You have to do it the way that he say do it. You can't do it your way, right? You can't go your way. You have to go the way God tell you to go. This is the way to go. Stay with the word of God. Now, God say, this is your password right here. Like brother Justin called it, your sword. Your sword, your password is everything right here in the word of God. If you fail to use that, you're not getting on. There's a little story one time that Brother Branham said. Let's just read this out of Go Tell.
We'll now close it right here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 It says this some time ago, I was reading in a book of a little boy that entered a contest. And in this contest, he was to make himself a famous name. Any little boy who could keep the password in his mind till he got to a certain place and he would speak this password, the gatekeeper would let him through. Now, most likely it was not just a password, but it was probably a sentence that the young man would have to say. All right. And I mean, in the contest, if you got there first and you gave the password, then the gatekeeper would open up the gates and let you in. So he says he would speak this password and the gatekeeper would let him through. That was to test the IQ of the child. And when he got to the place, speaking the passwords that was given him, the gate would open and he would win a great honor. One little boy being very swift-footed and know good and well that he could outrun all the rest of the boys in the contest, or he thought he could. He practiced day after day of running. How he pumped up his little lungs, got his physical body in trim so that he wouldn't tire as he run. And he practiced how to start with his feet and get a head plunge ahead of the rest of the boys, and how that he must breathe during the time of his running in order to hold the oxygen that came to his body to keep him pumping on, that it wouldn't slow up his heart too much. He studied it from every angle that he could. Oh, my God. And in the morning that the race started, there was more than 150 little boys lined up at a certain age. This little boy was rather a good-sized boy for his age, and he remembered all of his training. He got ready. They got on the line, put their little faces against the string that come along, pushed their little nose up against it. He studied all the rules of that, making himself ready. And then when the gun fired, the line was broken. The little boys jumped forward, and this little guy so physically fit until he jumped way ahead of the rest of them. And down the track he went with a terrific speed, well-trained, until he could outrun every boy that was in the race. And he was there, oh, quite a long time, maybe a minute or more, before the best of the other runners ever reached that place. But all of his physical training, he had forgotten the password. He had forgotten the very thing that he was to say to let him get in the gate. To let him in the gate. And he paced back and forth and stalling that searched through his mind. He'd been so interested in the natural physical conditions of his body till he had forgotten the main thing. On down the line, some boys that didn't run so fast, but they remembered the password and entered in. So is it today. We're so interested in great and building great shrines and churches and buildings and so forth, and so interested in keeping our churches in good trim with fine buildings and nice plus pews and fine organs, or ministers so well trained. They got Dr. DL, PhD, LLD degrees, but we forgot what we're training for. That's the trouble. Go tell my disciples that I have raised from the dead and I'll meet them in Galilee. We forgot the key word. We've been so busy with other things, making big churches, building big denominations, till we forgot the key word. And I believe that's just where we are. And that's why, you know, the scripture, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. You know what? That's when we'll be made a hot spot, when we can go back and do the basic things. I mean, you want to reach God, it's going to take some time in prayer. It's going to take some consecration. There was another quote, I won't read it all, but Brother Branham said, no minister can bring a revival. He don't pack it under its arms. He said the revival comes by the people and what they do inside of their homes. Church, amen, we want to create a spiritual hot spot. Your house can be a hot spot. Amen. For married couples, amen, your house can be an example where other couples might want to come and get counsel from you. It becomes a hot spot. Right? For young ladies, amen, that's living a godly life, you become so full of God that people want to be around you and find out what it is that you're doing. That you're able to overcome everything the devil throw your way. Your life can become a hot spot. Young men, for other young men, say, you know, what is it that you're doing? You don't struggle with this and struggle. Yeah, man, I struggle with the same things you struggle with. But I have decided to follow Jesus. no turning back. I made a commitment to God. Man, we can pray together, be a hot spot, get connected together. The church itself will be a hot spot when we as individuals become hot spots. Church, I want to encourage you. Amen. Let's create a spiritual hot spot right here. Things happen at the hot spot. The Lord richly bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow your heads and we'll say a word of prayer. And I just want to read this to you. The minister cannot bring a revival. There's no preacher can bring a revival. He doesn't pack it with him. The only thing he can do is just be loyal to God and his word. The revival has to come by the people in your home, in your life. Now, revival isn't adding new members to the church. It's reviving that what we already got. To revive means to bring back. And that's what we're praying for. God, Lord, we want to see true revival. Lord, revival in every home, revival in every heart. God, revival in every person. Even myself, Lord, I realize that I need to be revived. God, I need to be able to spend the quality time with you, Lord. And so often we find so many other things to get tied up in. But God, we want to get tied up in you, Jesus. We want to go back to the place from whence we have come. We remember those days, God, that we were so on fire for you. Oh, God, but what has hindered us? Who has hindered us, Lord? And amen, we did run well, but who hindered us? God, that's the question that we all have to ask ourselves. And I know, Lord, that you're challenging us. You want us. You want more from us. You're asking for that. And God, I pray that we as a people would surrender ourselves to your word, to this thought, Lord, that you presented to us today. Lord, let us turn from our wicked ways. Let us begin to seek heaven. Amen. Not just at church, but at home. May we begin to cry out to God. May we begin to pray. May we begin to put quality time in and just, Lord, just special moments that we can give to you. Lord, if it's just 15 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day, eventually becomes an hour, a couple hours. Lord, let us start somewhere. God, for we want you, Lord, to make us a hot spot. Make us desirable that other people want to be around us. We want to create an atmosphere that people, Lord Jesus, would, Lord, just want to be in our presence. Oh, God, we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own might. But, God, with you, we can do all things. So, Father, we pray that you just, Lord, not just let this be words that go in one ear and out the other, but, Lord, let it be something that becomes reality in the lives of your people. And we'll see the results, Lord God, from what has happened in our lives. We'll see the results by people just wanting to be a part of what is going on. Don't let this just be another sermon. But, oh God, let it be something that, Lord, that strikes way down on the inside of our hearts. We want to create a spiritual hot spot. That's our prayer. That's our prayer, oh God. Hallelujah. While every head is still bowed, amen, every eye closed. If there is someone here that just does not know Jesus and the pardoning of your sin, I want to give opportunity to you today to get to know Jesus. I want to pray for you. Amen, maybe you came, maybe somebody invited you to come and they told you you can make things right here. We want to give you an opportunity to make things right. I don't want anyone to leave this place knowing that you're not ready to meet God. We're not promised. I heard earlier about an accident that happened on the way to church this morning. And somebody got up this morning, probably going somewhere. They thought they had plans to go, but something interrupted their plan. And now they're facing a decision where they're going to spend eternity. And this morning, I just want to give opportunity. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, I want you to just lift your hands right where you are. If you really want to know, I want him to make a difference in my heart, in my life. I want to surrender to him today. If you're that person, just lift your hand right where you are.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. And while your hand is lifted, I just want you to be sincere in your heart. That's all. That's all God wants is your sincerity. He wants you to be real. He wants to make a difference today in your life. While your hand is lifted, I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. God sees the hands. God sees the hands. They're all over the building. God sees the hands. God sees it. It's not about whether Brother Jack sees it. It's what God sees. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray, and I want to pray for these different ones that have their hands lifted, Jesus. But while I'm praying for you, I want you to just take time, just talk to God in your own special way. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to come and take control of my heart, take control of my life. Just talk to me your own special way. He wants to talk to you. Right now, you have a direct connection. You have an opportunity to speak directly to him. Just take advantage of this opportunity that you have. God, I pray, Lord, that as they're having conversation with you, God, that you would forgive them of every sin. That you forgive us of every shortcoming. Lord, you look beyond every one of our faults and you would see our need. That you, God, would just bring salvation to every house. God, there are hands that are lifted, Lord, in this place, and they recognize that without you they cannot do it. But Lord, today they surrender and they ask you to be Lord, to be God, to be King, to be Savior, to be Redeemer, to be Master. God, we ask that you would come in and flood their souls, God, even right now. God, may they leave this place knowing that they, amen, are not the same, because they knowing, Father, that something took place at the moment that they lifted their hands. They defied gravity and showed, Lord, that it was an act of surrender, that they were surrendering to your will, surrendering to your way, surrendering to your thoughts, surrendering to your word. God, I pray for each one right now that you would receive, Lord, their repentant heart. Receive their prayer as they pray it to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, O God. We love you, Jesus. Oh God, we praise you. We worship you. We adore you, Lord, in this place. Hallelujah. You're worthy, God, to receive all the praise. You're worthy, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Send down a Holy Ghost revival. Revive us. Thank you, Jesus. Send the rain from heaven, flood our thirsty souls. We need a Holy Ghost revival, revive us. Open up the heavens, take control. Send down a Holy Ghost revival, revive us. Send the rain from heaven, flood our thirsty souls. We need a Holy Ghost revival, revive. Thirsty souls. Everybody standing that could stand. We need a Holy Ghost revival, revive us, Lord.
down a Holy Ghost revival, revivals. See the rain from heaven flood our thirsty souls. We need a Holy Ghost revival, Lord, revival.
Worship him, worship him, worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we need a Holy Ghost revival. A true Holy Ghost revival. But it starts with us as individuals. God, if we would take what we heard today, Lord, and just really apply it, we'll begin to see some things happen in this church. God, we don't want to have those can you hear me now relationships or conversations. God, we want to have a direct connection. We want to be fully connected at the hot spots, in range, Lord, and able to be able to hear directly from you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we as a church would take this, amen, as encouragement, as correction. Lord, as something just to kind of stir us up a little bit. Oh, God, we need more of you, Jesus. Thank you for the blessings that we have received. But, Lord, just because we're being blessed don't mean that everything's going the way it's supposed to be going. So, Lord, we're not fooled by those things. We thank you for that. But, Lord, we know deep down on the inside there's more that you want from us. God, we got to give it to you. Lay aside every excuse. Eliminate those excuses, Lord, and find time for you, Jesus. God, let it be every individual, every family. Lord, in the church as a whole, that we would all find time. Oh, God. Help us to create an atmosphere where this would be a spiritual hotspot. Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Our homes would be a hotspot. Our lives would be a hotspot. God,
That's what we desire. Thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Bless us now as we leave this place, but not your presence. Give us traveling mercies as we go our respective ways. And as we prepare, Lord, for Pinnacle Palms tonight, Lord, we pray that your spirit would just be with us. That you, God, would just go before us and you would bless our time together. In the name of Jesus. Keep us, Lord, until we're able to meet again on next Sunday morning. Bless the saints, Lord. Bless everybody's Thanksgiving. Time to get a chance to spend with their families and their loved ones. God, we just pray that you just be in the midst of everything. And may we enjoy one another's company, Lord, through this next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. You can be seated. Amen. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. We wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. Amen. See you on next Sunday.